We're thankful for the prayer that Brother Don offered on our behalf. Would ask that you would continue to pray this morning that the Lord would bless us in a mighty way and touch our hearts, that we might be instructed and it might be a benefit to each and every one of us. The subject on my mind this morning has to do with prayer, and I had a lot of thoughts concerning prayer, and it's really about my own prayer life that brought this to my attention. You know, I believe everyone in the congregation to some degree prays, but I really wonder about prayer in my own life, and I don't know how you feel about your prayer life. I know I don't pray enough. That there's no question about that. The Bible says to pray without ceasing, which doesn't mean 24/7, but it probably means more often than I pray, but to be continuous in our prayer life. But even beyond that, I think about the substance and the sincerity and the pouring out of one's soul in prayer that we see in the Bible amongst God's people. If you're like me, and unfortunately, even in the days that the Lord blessed men to pen the words in the Bible, we find out that we're drawn to the throne of grace more often in the times of difficulty, despair, death. Whatever you go through in life, somehow or other, it has an effect on your prayer life. But as the storms subside, you might say, and they are coming and they will pass, but there'll be a new set of storms out here at some point. When we get in the eye of the hurricane, as one might say, if you're like me, you have a tendency to let your prayer life fall off. The substance and the sincerity, the effectual fervidness of that prayer may not be as it once was. The more desperate I become in my life, the more I cry out to the Lord. And that's unfortunate, because we ought to cry out to the Lord every day, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. It's not about vain repetition. It's about, I believe it's about being in tune with God. It's about something that I seek from God while I live here in this life that you can't just derive from muttering words to the Lord. You know, this song speaks of our eternal salvation that we just sang in verse 1. I walk redeemed and whole by the blood of Jesus Christ, basically, is what that's telling. That Christ, all our burdens were put upon Him. The second verse talks about the salvation we so dearly need every day of our life. Notice it says, in my night of dark despair, Jesus heard and answered prayer. Now I'm walking free as air. You know, the one thing that I have determined about prayer is there's something that I believe every child of God yearns for in this life. I believe we yearn for a peace that we never will find in this earth. We try it a lot of ways, but I'm talking about where the trials and the tribulations of life really are of little effect to us. Not that we don't have a little mourning, but no matter whether we lose our job or we make the wrong decisions or whatever it is that we do, we offend someone or we're not forgiven by someone, whatever goes on in our lives, we need to be mindful of prayer and how it affects us. And I know that I do. Am I just getting up and going through a set of words every morning when I do pray? Am I praying enough? I said I've already missed the mark there, I'm quite certain. My concern, as I thought about this over the last several days, how much depth and sincerity is there in my prayer life? The Bible has so much to say about prayer, and yet I feel I fall so short. I just wonder what blessings that we're missing in this life. Brother Don said something last Sunday that I want to address for just one second. He said, hope for the best, plan for the worst, and basically be content with whatever happens. But I believe that is a difficult thing to do unless we walk hand in hand, as this song said. And this is not really particularly pertaining to the prayer subject on my mind, but I believe in one way it is. You got to walk in fellowship with God every day. because troubles are coming in our life. Job tells us, I believe it's in Job chapter 14, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Why can't we get that? Of a few days and he's full of trouble. That speaks of mankind, not just men. It doesn't mean that a woman never has any problem. That's mankind as a whole. Jesus went on to say that in this world ye shall have tribulations. I mean, it's laid out as clear can be, that troubles will come our way. And honestly, they will never stop coming till we go home to be with the Lord. In some form or fashion, we feel that way. You know, I went through troubles in my life, some tragedies, I would call it, great problems. You'd think there'd never be nothing like that. But you know, I've come to realize that the troubles never go away. A new storm and a new trouble arises. And the goal with me is in life is to handle that. How do you handle that? Are you full of anxiety and full of stress? Is life eating you apart? Are you having trouble with your children? Are your children not attentive to the Word of God? Are they not focused upon the things that they should be? There's just numerous things that we have great concerns about. And honestly, there's so much of what we're concerned about that's out of our control. You know, the Bible says, my times are in thy hand. In Psalms 31, I believe it is. That's what David said to the Lord. Honestly, our times are in the hand of God Almighty. He asked him to deliver him from the hand of the enemy. But you know, sometimes we're the enemy. We're our greatest enemy. I believe that's the truth. You know, we look at the enemy as being some force that comes in from without. But a lot of times your greatest enemy's within. It's within yourself. It's the very sin nature that we have. And it causes us to be wore out, stressed out, full of anxiety. Our mind is unfocused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you love to live with the proper focus? Because I'm telling you, life is going to get the better part of you if we don't get that way. I'm no different. And I thought about this in my own life. How much is going wrong in your life? Maybe your job is you're not getting fulfilled there. Maybe you're not getting enough attention. Maybe your children are not living up to the standard that you set. Maybe the church doesn't have the attendance. I know I concern myself about that. Christianity as a whole is slipping backwards. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Many of those things are literally out of my control. There's not anything I can do about them. But I believe the Bible talks of a peace that passeth understanding that we can have to know that our lives are in the hands of the Lord and that everything's going to be all right regardless of how bad the waves are out here or how aggressive the storms may be coming. Because I'm telling you, I'm getting close to 60 years old and the storms haven't stopped coming. You don't get to an age that you no longer have any problems. At least it doesn't appear to me that it's that way. You know, you think about Sister Vida and you think about Brother Will. I mean, you know, Brother Will lost his wife like I did mine years ago, and now he's inflicted with cancer and he's going through a terrible time. And certainly he is in need of our prayers and in need of the Lord's grace and mercy and help. I mean, prayer is something that I don't know that I have ever constantly and continuously had and done in a proper perspective. I don't know how to put it to any other way. I mean, it's very easy to see it in another light. Let's look at prayer for just a little bit and think about it. What is it? We're told as we begin in Matthew chapter 21 and in verse 21, I want to read two verses and get a couple of words out of these two verses that I think you're going to find. First of all, if you need help, no one can help you but the Lord. We can go to man, and you may get a little bit of help for a time, but if you're going to get help with what your problems and difficulties are in this life, it's going to take the help of Jesus Christ. You know, it's not going to take the help of some man out here, some boss, your wife, your husband, your children. Real help comes from the Lord, just like real joy comes from the Lord and real peace. Notice what Jesus says. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, it withered, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Well, the first thing I think a lot of us are going to say, well, I've prayed a lot of times and God didn't answer my prayer. You know, the biggest problem we have, if we don't get the answer that we're searching for, we declare that God didn't answer. But there's two things here that I think are extremely important in our prayer life. He said up here to begin with, if you have faith and doubt not. How much doubt do you have? How much belief do you have that God will really answer your prayer? You know, it doesn't mean that God will grant you every wish and every material substance that you want in this world. You know what I yearn for, and the older I get, is peace. I mean, I'm talking about, I believe every child of God yearns for peace in their soul. I mean, it's a peace that keeps this rugged world from interrupting your life and taking you over. Do you know that you're here, you're like a vapor, you're here but for a moment and you're going to pass away? That we all that way. We yearn for peace that the world can't give us. In other words, when those storms come, are you rattled? Are you full of anxiety? Are you stressed out? You know, I honestly am a lot of times. I don't know how to handle it. Did I make the right decision? Did I make the right investment? Did I do the right thing? But you put it in the hands of the Lord. You walk hand in hand with the Lord. And so what if you made the wrong decision? So what? It's like the old saying was when we used to go and me and Keith started in farming and you know, we didn't have any money, you know, and one old saying was, well, it can't eat you. You know, we may not have any money, but that's about all that you don't. And we didn't have anything they could get, but people would say such as that. I mean, honestly, fear takes over in our lives, the fear of man and the fear of ourselves. But I'm telling you, let's think about the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus talked about the model prayer. He said, give us this day our daily bread. There's nothing wrong with asking for God your provisions this day. We are to. And to forgive those, or to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I believe that forgiveness comes from God in accordance to how you forgive others. If you're unwilling to forgive others, you go to Matthew 18, God's not willing to forgive you. We wallow in our own substance. But I'm going on, the next part is what I want. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What is this deliverance that we're looking for? I believe so much of the time the deliverance is from within. We don't have the peace that we ought to have. I know many times I don't. I want to be able to live in this life with such a view and such a fellowship with Jesus Christ that I'm not literally rattled and torn apart by everything that comes along. And I'm not telling you this is easy. I'm telling you, folks, I know I do. I need to change my prayer life. I need to get serious about prayer and pouring out my soul unto God and to have, you know, the worship prayer is worship. It's the most worship you'll ever do in the presence of God while you live. It really is. We don't come here in our lifetime that much together. It's a great blessing. But I'm telling you, do you believe? Do you doubt? When you pray, do you enter into your prayer saying, well, I know the Lord can, but I sure doubt He will. That's very easy to do. You know, I need healed from this. You know, a lot of times that sickness is from within. It's not just the afflictions of cancer. It's the afflictions of our mind, our heart, and our soul. The world has taken over who we are and has led us astray. And friends, I want to live with a peace that passeth understanding if possible. We go to Mark chapter 9 and kind of get the same lesson. And one of the multitude answered in verse 17 and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithful generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you to bring him unto me? And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit teared him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Like someone that had epilepsy is what this picture is being drawn of here, I believe. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since he came unto him? And he said, of a child. He's had this all his life, basically, since he's been a child. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. I really believe that our inability to have our prayers answered and to have the peace that our souls yearn for is because we doubt. We're told in Luke 12 when the Lord said, I will give you what you stand in need of. Food to eat, raiment to wear, a roof over your head. But he said, don't be as other folks are and be of a doubtful mind. I'm paraphrasing that. But doubt is a problem. A lot of times we enter into prayer doubting the power of God or doubting that God would look upon us as someone that he would bless in such a manner. You know, I don't care how many prayers you and I read in the Bible, somehow or other, if you're like me, you can't put yourself in that position and believe God would do for you what he done for them. Have you ever felt that way? If you do, that means you doubt God. We're of a doubtful mind. We really doubt. It says here, if you believest. Now that tells me if you can believe as you should believe, there's nothing impossible in our life. It doesn't say if you believe, God will remove every problem. What I'm asking for is a peace and a contentment in my life that the problems that are going to come do not tear me apart, do not stress me out, do not fill me with anxiety to the point that I can't hardly function. Do you know that I believe God's people are in that very condition a lot of the time? They can't deal with life and they can't handle life. Even though life is very, very short compared to eternity, they're consumed with this life that they're living. They're consumed with whatever it is they're doing. And soon it's going to be gone. And even if we live to be 70 or 80, I tell you, I can testify to you today, that ain't going to be long. Even if I live 20 more years, 20 years sounds like a long time, but the past 20 years have went so fast, I can't imagine it's slowing up any. It's going to get faster. So time on this earth is not that long. But there's coming a day that eternity, it will never change. But what we're interested in here is getting through the difficulties and through the stresses that we're all going to have. They may be different. There may be many of them alike. But I can assure you, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Amen? I'm telling you, it's a fact. We got troubles coming at us in every direction. If it ain't finances, disappointments, I don't know what it is. Problems in the church, problems here, problems there. They're everywhere. And they find their root in sin. But we do have troubles, and we know that. They oughtn't to be a surprise. We ought to expect them. We're going to encounter them. What I'm concerned about is how I deal with them. What if you do something wrong and you fall on your face? What if you lose your best friend? What if you lose your job? What if you lose all the money you have? The Lord said he'd never leave you or forsake you. He said he would take care of us. We're so concerned that we're going to miss out on something, I guess, that we've forgotten what's important. Because we're not carrying any of this to heaven with us, I'll tell you right now. The Lord will provide. He honestly teaches us that. He goes on and he says, Jesus said, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. This is one of those verses, just like when John fell as one dead at the feet of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, the man may have been dead. But I tell you, that's the power that God has to revive the life. And we're not on that subject, but it very well could have been. And when he was coming into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, this kind come forth by nothing, not by multiple ways, by nothing but prayer and fasting. If nothing else, I'll tell you today that prayer is extremely important for our deliverance many times in this life. We don't fast, or I don't. I have a few times, but not as I should. But this tells us that there are certain situations and circumstances in our life that only by prayer and by fasting, which is a sacrifice, will we receive these or see these troubles removed from our life. The troubles that are going to come our way, because they're coming, we're going to have them every day. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 8. Paul said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. See, I believe there's two problems that we have or that I have. You know, and subconsciously sometimes I really doubt, and I'm not sure I really believe that God will give unto me what I need, especially peace, and that's what I yearn for. You know, life is not really about how much I can collect and how much money I can make. I've known some folks that had nothing, that had far more peace than folks that had a lot. Peace is something that our souls are yearning for, and one day we're going to be at peace for eternity. But this peace is something that allows us to get through the struggles that life presents without the struggles taking hold of us in such a way that we can't hardly function. We can't hardly make it. We're being mentally fought at. You know, our great adversary, Satan himself, we're told in John 10, wants to steal and to kill and destroy. He's there and he knows our weaknesses. Being content with what happens is so important, as Brother Don spoke last week. Because when we're not, we become rattled. Our lives become disposed in other areas, and that we become frantic sometimes. You may not see it, but it happens in our minds. I mean, I've lived long enough to know that you can worry yourself to no end about your children, about your job, about how am I going to make it to the end of my days. You know, do we trust in the Lord? Do we really trust in Him with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding? Do we acknowledge Him in all our ways? Solomon told us that if we do, He shall direct every step that we take. Not some of them. We need to pray, and I know I do. That, like I said, it's been on my mind, prayer in such a mighty way. Prayer is so effective in our lives, but I question the sincerity and the ferventness of my prayers. You know, let's go to Acts, chapter 10. And let's begin to read about a prayer of a man that was answered. You know, when you read these prayers in the Bible, it's so easy to say, well, you know, that was a special individual over there. God just doesn't work with me or anyone else that way today. Have you ever thought that? Or just thought you wouldn't be used of the Lord in the same way someone else was? That's being of a doubtful mind. You know, back over in Mark chapter 9, that man said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. You know, it really is a question of all things are possible if we truly believe. We can say we believe, but the Lord really knows if we do believe. Do we? Do you believe when you pray that God even hears your prayer? Or do you doubt that He even hears you? Or do you doubt that He even wants anything to do with you? I mean, sometimes we, God's people, have had a doubtful mind, and Paul just said, pray and don't doubt. But doubt creeps in, and Satan knows that we're a doubtful people and sometimes, and a people that have a hard time believing. He is the father of lies, and oftentimes he lies to us, and we believe the lies more than we believe the truth. It says over here in Acts chapter 10 and verse 30, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. I'm not preaching on fasting this morning, but it's another place of failure in my life. The New Testament is full of teachings about fasting. Here's a man that had already fasted 4 days. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. I honestly tell you, I have a lot of doubts whether I could pray in such a way that would happen to me. But then again, the Bible says, if thou canst believest, all things are possible to him that believes. So I believe if you understand God's word, there's nothing impossible for you and I. And he said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. But we notice there's something, this was a Gentile. There's something very familiar in verse 1 of chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to God, alms to the people, and prayed to God always. This is a man that I think understood the need for prayer. He understood that he prayed believing. And God sent him a vision. And he went, sent some of his servants to fetch Peter, if you would. But he prayed believing. I mean, it takes real belief in our life if we won't change. Do you believe that God can change your conscience and your mind to where that whatever happens to you in life doesn't eat you alive? I tell you, that's one of the greatest problems I believe in America today among God's people, is the stress and the anxiety and the things that we take in from this world. They're going to happen. I'm not saying remove them, because I don't know that we can. I really don't. The key to it is not letting it unravel our lives, not letting it torment us and tear us apart, make us worry and walk in such a way. Are we going to be here tomorrow? Are we going to make it? What's going to happen to me? I mean, it's a constant thought between the young and the old for one purpose or the other. I pray that God will give me an inner peace that passeth understanding, that I can deal with these things. Let's look at another prayer in chapter 12 of Acts. In verse 5 of chapter 12, it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Do you know that sometimes, as doubtful as you are, as unbelieving as you are, that God is still merciful and answers prayer? You're going to find that out here. Here was a church that was praying without ceasing, but I can tell you there was a number of folks, at least one man, in this church that didn't believe it was possible for Peter to be released from prison and to stand and knock at his door. Let's go over to the 13th verse of this chapter. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. Now, Peter was in prison, and the angel of the Lord came to him. His chains fell off. He came out of this prison, and he walks to this place, this church that was gathered. And that's not the building, folks. That was the people. They were praying without ceasing for Peter. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate. In other words, this was such an astonishing thing to this young lady that she run with joy to express what had just happened to everyone in the church. Peter's here. He's knocking. Can you believe it? He's here. I heard his voice. But ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate, and they said unto her, thou art mad. You crazy woman. That ain't possible. Reckon that fellow that said that prayed believing? Reckon he was of a doubtful mind? As I said, sometimes God's merciful anyway, is he not? He answers our prayers when we don't pray believing, when we would pray with a lot of doubt in our mind. You know, I just know that life is hard. It's tough. We have all kinds of problems. And the older we get, I'm getting like Elder Mike Rogers was. I wish the Lord had come back tomorrow. Because I do know one thing. Man that's born of a woman is full of troubles, and those troubles continue on till we go home to be with the Lord in some form or fashion. When you get beyond one, another's brewing. The key to it is to not let those troubles carry you away and destroy your life and be consume you and be so much of what you're doing that you can't function. That's the troubles that families have. That's the trouble that churches have. That's a trouble that society has. We're so consumed with life that we can't have the peace that God says passeth understanding. We're so caught up in the everyday comings and goings of this life. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Now, why would we be astonished when God had answered a prayer and he tells us in his word that if we can believe, all things are possible to us? Tells us that this church, they were praying, but they didn't have a lot of confidence in God, did they? They were praying without ceasing. But their prayers were not sincere. They didn't believe. Help thou my unbelief. I ask you today, do you pray believing that God will deliver you from your troubles? Not that he will remove them, that he will deliver you. Deliver us from evil. The evil may be within us. I believe in my case, as much of it's within as it's without. The things that eat at us and tear at us, you know, they come to us by the nature of our carnal sin. And then Satan's there to help steal it and to kill it and destroy it. That's what he's there to do, to rob us of any joy or peace that we might have. That's the prayer that I want to have. I just want to go through life and not be rocked by every wave that comes along. And you know, I don't fall out of bed, but I tell you, a lot of God's people walk around with a lot of things going on in their minds and their hearts that's troubling to them in this life. And I know you have troubles. We all have troubles. And it's hard to overcome the troubles. It's hard to get along. Unless we're walking hand in hand with the Lord every day, I don't think we can. Unless we pray believing that he will not leave us nor forsake us. That we may boldly say the Lord is our helper. And that we will not fear what man shall do unto us. Or what anyone else will do unto us. Or we won't fear what may come upon us. Because God is always with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. But I want you to understand this doubting and this unbelief, it's not something that's just come upon us in the last few years. You know, I want to think about a couple of things. God, where God answered prayer. And as I stated when we began this morning, most of the time we go to God and pray in a way of in a time of trouble or sadness or whatever it might be. Think about 1 Samuel chapter 1 when Elkanah was married to Hannah, and we'll say Penny, as Brother Mike Rogers would call her, just for easy pronunciation. But she was barren and she had no children, and she poured out her soul unto God, and Eli the priest, he seen her and he thought she was drunk because she was moving her lips, but she wasn't uttering any words. And she said, I have not drinking strong drink. I have not drank wine. She said, I pour the bitterness of my soul out unto God. I mean, her prayer was serious then. And I've had those times in my life. The question is, can we pray seriously when the storm has passed and we're in the eye of the hurricane? We're going to have a calm season. We all do. But the storms will likely come again in some form or fashion. In my life, and I don't know about yours, it's to handle the troubles that come our way and not be rattled by them to the extent that it ruins our life or messes it up, because we all have troubles. Jesus said, these things have I said unto you that you might have peace in me. I know that if we don't find our peace in Jesus Christ, we're never going to have it in this life. Jesus is not going to remove all your problems and take away all your difficulties. But he has promised if we come to him with sincere and honest prayer, believing and not doubting, that he will make a way for us to go on regardless of what the problems may be. And that we won't be eaten alive by them. That they won't overtake us. We know in Hezekiah, I'll make two more mentions and I want to go over and try to close in James. Hezekiah was a king that was raised up who did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And the king of Assyria was destroying all the nations around about, and he was declaring to destroy the Hebrew people, Hezekiah and the people he was king over in Judah. And he had convinced them that the king of Assyria said, I've destroyed every other nation. Don't believe Hezekiah. He's just telling you something. But I'm going to tell you, God smote 145,000 of those folks one night out there when they would come up against Israel or Judah, and they all died. He answered their prayer. But then we find in 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 1 that Isaiah came to Hezekiah and he said, "Set your house in order, brother. Your days are done." That's basically what he said. "Your time upon this earth is done. Set your house in order. You're going to die." And Hezekiah went to the wall and he fell down in prayer. And I'll tell you, I bet this was some sincere, honest prayer, as it would be with me. God heard his cry, and God answered it immediately through the prophet Isaiah. And he added 15 years to his life. Prayer is something that really can work. But I believe if we're of a doubting mind, I believe that if we don't believe, as the Bible tells us, that we should believe, that we're not going to get our prayers answered. In the book of Philippians, it tells us to pray. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, we need to be mindful to pray. In James chapter 5, it talks about the things that we need to pray for. "Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." That tells me that the sickness sometimes that we have is not a sickness that requires a pill. It's the things that yearn in our heart and our mind and our soul that disturb us. When God forgives us of our sins and we call upon the name of the Lord, the prayer of faith will save us. It will deliver us. "Deliver us from evil, O Lord. Lead us not into temptation. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." I'm going to close with these two verses in Philippians. Chapter 4 and verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer." That word prayer there, when you go to the Greek word, means worship. Because supplication is the petitions you bring before God. So when you enter into that effectual worship, that sincere worship of God in prayer, bringing forth your supplications, your petitions, your needs, "with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And notice verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Hand in hand, we walk each day with the Lord. And if we don't, when these troubles come that we're told in the book of Job that our life would be full of, and I think most of us can testify here that we've had all the troubles that we desire. If we could stop having any more troubles and still live in this natural life, it'd be a great blessing, would it not? But we know they're going to keep coming. If you're getting along pretty good and the Lord allows you to live on and on and on, the afflictions of old age are liable to come upon us. And no telling what that may lead to. It never stops, but God has promised that His grace is sufficient. Jesus has said, "I'll be with thee, and I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee." That we should not fear the problems that we have. And it's so hard to do that. It's so hard to know what lies ahead. But you know, the Bible tells us that the evil of the day is sufficient, the troubles of the day. You know, my wife always tells me not to borrow trouble. You know, to understand this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will be rejoice and be glad in it. To pray that God will help us to get through each and every day, no matter what trouble you face, with a peace. Knowing that all things one day will be made right. That He will help you to get to that day. You know, David said when his young son after 7 days died, he said, "He won't come back to me, but I'll go where he's at." That's a comfort that we have and a promise given to us by God. One day we're going where those loved ones have went and those that we love so much and spend so much time with in our life. Let's let not this world eat us alive. Let's pray that God would give us that peace that passeth understanding. Be careful in all things. Pray to God. Every situation in your life, ask for his help. Not that he'd give you everything you want, that he would help you to live through whatever comes your way. I believe that's far more important than granting you what you want. Because the troubles are going to come, and if you can't get through them, it doesn't matter what you have. It'll never make up for the trouble that yearns in your heart and soul. It won't. I could buy you houses, and you know, people go out. Sometimes we go out and spend money on a binge trying to satisfy the yearning of our soul. May help you for a few days, but it'll never satisfy your soul. Only the Lord Jesus Christ will do that. It's a peace that you and I cannot find in this world. And be assured, problems are coming if they're not already there. Pray. Be sincere and effectual in your prayer, fervent, consistent. And think about your prayer when you do pray, that God would truly answer your prayer. May God bless you. This is my prayer this morning.